Hey everyone, you're listening to a repeat of our live show, Looking Up.
That's right, and if you think this is good, you'll definitely want to tune in on Wednesdays at 3:30 to join us for the live event, because you can actually participate. There's a free giveaway that you can claim, you can text in your questions and prayer requests.
Live is so much more fun.
Looking unto Jesus.
Good afternoon, everyone. Can you hear me?
Amen. I can hear you loud and clear.
I can't hear myself.
Oh, okay.
But I can hear you. So that's all right. Oh, no wonder. This isn't even plugged in.
Oh, there you
go. Never mind. Welcome.
Welcome along. We are getting there. We're getting there.
Welcome, everyone, to another broadcast of the Looking Up Show. My name is Sharissa, and I'm joined in studio by...
Your friend, Danny, and you're my good friend too, Sharissa.
That's right. And we're so glad that you're joining us. What's the date today?
It's May 27th.
Wow, we're nearly halfway through the year. Once we hit June, it's the halfway mark. So we're excited, and this is an exciting program. We have so much to talk about that we didn't know we were going to talk about. So what can our listeners look forward to about joining us on our journey?
Okay,
today?
Well, today is a big, 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 big show. I think I say that every week. And that's really the way it is. So today we are going to be talking about what's making news headlines from a prophetic point of view. Sharissa mentioned, I think it was the last time we were together, that we've been all awaiting this papal encyclical, this first papal encyclical from Pope Leo. Magnifica Humanitas.
Yes.
And I'm not sure if I can pronounce that correctly, the Latin.
I can't even correct you.
But anyway, the Magnificence of Humanity that was signed by Pope Leo on May 15 and was released to the world 10 days later on May 25. So we're going to take a look at the significance of this encyclical that is making world headlines in connection with AI from a prophetic point of view. So we're not going to give a political analysis. We're going to give a prophetic analysis, as always.
That sounds exciting. And in addition to that, we are stepping through an incredible book, which we'll probably reference before we even get to the chapter that we're going through today. It's The Great Controversy. And if any of our listeners haven't got a copy, you're listening to the right show, because you simply text us the letters GC at any time during today's broadcast to the number 0488-17624. Text those letters GC, and we can make sure you get a copy. But today we're up to chapter 12.
Chapter 12, the French Reformation.
Right. It's very inspiring.
It is very inspiring. So that's going to be our study. And I know that I shared last time we would be in that chapter and we ran out of time. But but today, definitely, I'm going to muzzle my mouth towards the end there, and we're going to make sure we get there.
So let's all stay tuned and see if that happens.
That'll be a sure sign. We're also going to be taking a look at other news, including the second batch of UAPs, those unidentified aerial phenomena released by the United States Department of War. So we're going to be taking a look at that. Then we're going to be taking a look at these, the Abraham Accord and Donald Trump. There's always Donald Trump pretty much every time we connect. So we're going to be talking about a number of those things, and there's a whole bunch of other stories in connection with that. So, yeah. A lot of interesting things taking place.
Yeah, we have lots to talk about. Now, do you have any shout-outs?
Yes, well, it's not so much a shout-out. I do have one shout-out, and that's, the organisers of the Faith FM Memorial Fun Day. That happened on Sunday. The Lord provided a beautiful day, like a window of time without rain. You know what it's been like. It's been raining, raining. And Sunday, while the fun day happened there at Memorial Church, the Faith FM fun day, it went really well. So, yeah, big shout out to all the organisers. If anyone's listening, it was great. And that's in preparation for this weekend. Uh-huh. Where I am running A World on the Brink, Finding Peace in Uncertain Times here at the Memorial Church, beginning this Friday night, May 29, all the way through the entire weekend to May 31. So a four-part series, Friday night to Saturday morning, finishing off on Sunday night. So if you're interested and you're in the area or close by, I'd love to see you. Go to the Faith FM website, mm-hmm. and under the events page there, you can register. And there's a beautiful, delicious meal. Sharissa, you know who's providing the food on Friday night and Sunday night?
Tell me.
Food Pharmacy.
Oh, wow.
Food Pharmacy is providing.
That would be reason to go, if nothing
else. I'm telling you, regardless of how good or how bad the speaker is, you want to come and enjoy Food Pharmacy food. It is delicious.
Absolutely.
Plant-based, delicious.
I can attest to that. And we want to welcome our listeners too. We've had two people text us already.
Already?
Yes. Guess who one is?
Davo.
Yes, Davo's listening from WA.
Oh, I've got to tell you a funny story. Davo said to me, because he joins that Tuesday Bible study I do at RTM in the afternoon, he joins that and he says, Danny, my wife caught me with my earpiece listening to the radio program when I was supposed to be doing something else.
He's in trouble.
trouble.
Davo says he's not able to listen live, but he sent us a text. He's going to catch up on the replay.
Yeah, so a big shout out to you, Dave.
Yes, and Vernon has sent us a text, says, I'm listening from Canberra. How cool is that?
From the nation's capital.
Yeah, from the capital.
Hey, we've got a story. We've got a story from the nation's capital too.
I'm excited to hear it. So, well, I won't be anywhere around here. I'm going to be in Jindabyne this weekend.
Oh, wow.
For the South New South Wales Women's Retreat.
Oh, are you speaking at that?
I will be making some noise there. So looking forward to it. We'll both have some reports next week. But right now, wow, this has got my husband singing in it. Justin, Kate, and May are going to bring to us A Little Heaven on Earth. And then we'll continue right after this. Enjoy.
This life, through highs and lows, we come more fully God to know. And as we learn and as we grow, great changes take place in our home. The bitter words, frustrated glance, become transformed for this. Father, see the change in us. Neighbors and friends we love so much. And as they now come to our home, they see the changes, how we've grown. They sense God's peace and presence there. And as you lift them up in prayer, God's seeds are planted in their hearts for Christ to work a brand new start. Oh, Father, thank you for this change.
Justin Tarosi and Kate Garriga, Machit, bringing to us a little heaven on earth. We hope you enjoyed that.
Well, I've got to say, when I meet my mate Justin, he's a man of many talents.
Yeah, I think he might have had a part to put, like they wrote that.
I was waiting for his voice, but I didn't quite.
Didn't hear it?
I didn't hear it, no.
So maybe he wrote it. But
he may have written it, yeah,
I know he helped write that one. Yeah.
Well done, Justin. That's a beautiful song.
I think
Kate
may have perfected it.
Yeah, there's a good chance of that. No, that was a beautiful song. The lyrics were just beautiful.
We had it as a song, a special item at our Family Life series.
I love it. A little heaven on earth.
That our home should be a little heaven on earth.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. Wow.
Looking up.
Looking up, indeed.
And Vernon got back to us during that song, and he says, my wife will be at the women's retreat as well.
Well, there you go. What a small world.
Yeah, I look forward to meeting her, Vernon.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. So, hey, I've got a shout out to give our mate Scaffy.
Oh, yes.
Our mate Scaffy. Well, today, I'm pretty sure it was this morning. Yeah, this morning he rings me up. He's traveling home from doing the breakfast show.
Uh-huh.
And big plug for the breakfast show. Like, they are all over current events.
Best way to have breakfast.
Oh, I'm telling you. I'm telling you. You'll choke on your breakfast when you hear some of the headlines they come up with. No, great, great program they have every morning. 6 till 9 a.m. Anyway, Scaffy, he rings me up and we're discussing, you know, the encyclical and some of the things in connection with it. And because we had Scaffy on, you know, just a few weeks ago in connection with AI.
Yeah.
And as we were discussing and pulling the pieces together, like the picture is becoming so, so clear, you know, that end time prophetic picture. So Scaffy is actually putting together a presentation or a couple of presentations or so that he's going to be rolling out in Queensland for a Faith FM program. So he's going to be on the road doing that. And if there's any churches out there that would love a Faith FM program from Scaffy, breakfast show host, get in touch with him, get in touch with Faith FM, and he will come. So he'll be going to Queensland in a few months' time, in a couple of months' time. But he'll be back on the Looking Up show to roll that out, prior to sharing it in Queensland. And so, but yeah, basically, bottom line, we were talking as to how all these different elements are converging. You know, we've got these two beasts in Revelation 13, you know, the Roman papacy in the United States of America. And, you know, all roads are just converging and leading to Rome or Washington. It's just phenomenal to watch this happening. And so anyway, so Scaffy, big shout out, mate. You're doing a great job. And, you know, he is all over it like a rash when it comes to what's happening in the AI world.
Sounds like you.
Sounds a bit like me.
You guys so,
hey, I did tell you when he was on the show, he talks more than me.
Does he?
Yeah, I could barely get a word in. Go, Scaffy. There's not many people that can
that
talk.
That is something you've got to hear, everyone.
Not many
Someone
people talk
more than
me. I'm telling you, wait a minute. He's just texted me. Just listening. Thanks. There you go, Scaffy. I love Scaffy.
Oh,
he was helping me out with, well, we were kind of, the voice of Kurumbong on Sunday.
Very good.
So, yeah, we had our Faith FM thing going and music and interviews and shout outs and so forth. Yeah, it was great. I love working with Scaffy. He's a top bloke.
He's a great guy. And you know what? We could give a plug too for what's happening July 4th.
Oh, I've got that on my list. Go for it.
Well, I'll just start it and then you just finish it. So on July 4th, we've got a unique event.
Well, it starts July 3, actually.
Starting July 3, you're right. But if we go by biblical times, the day begins at sunset.
True.
Okay. So yeah, starting July 3.
It's the biblical Sabbath.
Friday night. There'll be a light dinner provided at the Hamilton Seventh-day Adventist Church, corner of Lindsay Street and that other street there opposite Gregson Park, Steele Street. And we've got a special weekend coming up with an incredible lineup of speakers. And we are touching on this theme, the final allegiance, America in crisis.
Mm.
And it's going to be really exciting. Unpacking Bible prophecy, pretty much a little bit of an extension of what happens on the program, but in a through different perspectives from different speakers. Rebecca Cheers, she's got a legal background. She'll be talking to us about.
We've got Lyle Southwell.
We got you.
Yeah, well.
Maybe we can't even
get rid of me.
We got Justin.
Yeah.
My husband. We got Boris Yovanov. We've got many others who'll be joining too. That's just the beginning. And maybe we can even persuade Scaffy to join us.
I think Scaffy will be good on the panel. So if you're still listening, Scaffy, pencil that in if you're not going anywhere over that weekend. So especially on the Saturday afternoon, I know he's busy with his church there at Food Pharmacy. And by the way, Scaffy and I, we're going to tag team. We talked about that today. We're going to tag team. I'm going to talk about some signs and current events that, you know, I'm familiar with. And he's going to be talking about, you know, AI and the prophetic significance of that, because that all literally all dovetails.
Yes.
All the things that we're talking about dovetail into Revelation 13. Yep. So, so Scaffy and I are looking forward to doing that at Food Pharmacy, and who knows, maybe elsewhere.
Yeah.
If we're let out.
So there'll be free food too. So there's dinner Friday night. There'll be lunch Saturday after the main service. We have a baptism.
Oh, wow.
Someone who's declaring their allegiance once and for all for Jesus. And that'll be very special.
So that's in connection with the 250th anniversary of the founding of the United States of America.
It's going to be a big day.
That is why we've chosen July 4th. So it's not like we just randomly picked this date. It's deliberate because there's going to be a lot of attention.
Yes.
Around the world, including here in Australia, on the lead up or to July 4 and Independence Day, you know, which is, you know, the big birthday party there in the United States of America. So anyway, we want to make use of that event from a prophetic point of view to help people understand not just the significance of this from Bible prophecy, because the United States is obviously front and center in end time prophecy in the book of Revelation, but we want to help people prepare, as our radio show seeks to do each week, for the second coming of Jesus. That's the whole point.
And in connection too with July 4, this is not going to be a local event to the Newcastle area, but to anywhere and everywhere. The South Pacific Division is calling for a day of prayer that day also to help us pray for plans called a thing called TPUM for Christ, which is the Trans-Pacific Union Mission for Jesus. And we're sending out missionaries all over the South Pacific coming up in the next couple of months. So special day of prayer for that as well.
And I'm blessed to be part of that. I'm going to Fiji.
Wow. Bula Vinaka.
I can't wait. I've been to Fiji before on holidays with my family. I just love the place, love the people. I've got some good Fijian prayer friends, like Pastor Asava. He's Fijian. Yeah. He's up north. And looking forward to that. That's in August. So there's going to be many, many places in the Pacific that are going to hear the good news of the gospel. So that's really, really exciting. I do need to just give another plug. It's on the Faith FM website events page. I'm going to Prospect there in Adelaide, South Australia, June 19 to 21. With our good friend, Pastor Marty Thompson. So I'll be running the World on the Brink program there. And then in West Australia, July 25 in Harvey, which is south of Perth, I'll be running a full day seminar in connection with this. So anyway, so they're all our promos, Charissa.
Yes.
We're busy bees.
We certainly are.
Over the next little bit.
Our time here, that's for sure.
No.
We forgot to tell everyone the giveaway.
Ooh, yes, yes.
Did you have another thing?
No, that's it.
The French Pilot, A Seafaring Tale of Adventure and Faith. This was a book we offered by Alan Steele last week, and we still have it as being appropriate since we're finally getting to the Reformation in France today. But this will be a wonderful little book. It's really perfectly chosen. Shell did this. So if you're interested, you may remember the code word from last week. But if not, we'll remind you in the next segment.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep this number handy, 0488 17624, if you're interested.
Amen. Amen. All right. I think it's time to get stuck into things, eh? Because we've got a lot of things to talk about.
Yeah, we've got a lot to talk about.
All right. So let's start off in our own backyard just real quick. Mm-hmm. A national MP, mm-hmm. federal MP by the name of Lynn Allison Penfold. So mm-hmm. she's a National Party member there in our federal parliament. She has introduced what many are considering her controversial sex discrimination bill. So the Sex Discrimination Act of 2026 that she wants to introduce is in connection with placing back into legislation, reintroducing the definition of man and woman in the Sex Discrimination Act. Because under the Gillard government, you remember, Prime Minister, our first female Prime Minister, Julia Gillard, the words man and woman were taken out of the Sex Discrimination Act. So she wants to put that back into law. And she said it's only coincidence. I mean, this is a law that she's been working on for months, and she says it's only coincidence that the bill has come out shortly after the Giggle versus Tickle ruling. Remember that?
Yeah.
Giggle
for
girls.
Yeah, week.
Giggle for girls, where Sal Grover, I think it is, Sal Grover, the CEO of Giggle for Girls, she was sued by Tickle, Miss Tickle,
mm-hmm.
who's a trans woman, and she lost, as in Sal Glover, the one who had this app only for girls or only for females, right?
Mm-hmm,
only
mm-hmm.
for females. And if you were not a biological female, you were not allowed to access this app. It was just for females. And so, yeah, she was taken by Tickle and Miss Tickle. And, yeah, the High Court of Australia ruled in favour of Miss Tickle that this was a violation of her rights based on our laws. And so she was awarded about $20,000 to $30,000 in compensation, as well as over $100,000 in court costs to be paid back to her. So this has really set the debate on fire.
Mm.
Do women deserve to have their own space? Do they deserve to enter a toilet where there's only biological women?
Yes.
Do women in sport deserve to play with only biological women?
That's fair.
That's more than fair. So how would you feel if you walked into a toilet and there were biological men there, wanting to be women?
Yeah, it's a little feeling unsafe, feeling, because you don't know.
Yeah, absolutely.
what their intentions may be.
I mean, as a man, if I walked into a toilet and there was a biological female in there, wanting to be a male, I'd feel a little bit uncomfortable, but to be honest, it really wouldn't concern me much. I'd still continue, but I'm a male. But females are different.
That's right. We feel more vulnerable.
Exactly. Exactly. So anyway, so that's interesting. And this all tells us, why do I bring this up? Because this tells us that, we're living in a time where we are not even able to define what a woman or a man is.
Yes.
And that is the very foundation of a society, family.
Yes.
Genesis 1, God created, humans in his own image. The Bible says God created them male and female, he created them.
I was thinking of the Bible verse in Isaiah 5:20. It says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." We're living in times that are just like this.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. We need to be sensitive, and I'm very, very understanding and sensitive and really feel sorry for people who have got gender dysphoria.
Mm-hmm.
I've spoken to some individuals. I've spoken to some parents. I've spoken to one parent in particular that I'm thinking of right now who has a daughter who's experiencing gender dysphoria, and it's just harrowing for the whole family. And so, you know, sympathies go out to any of our listeners that maybe have children or know of individuals who are experiencing gender dysphoria. But the way our government currently is tackling it is not helping. I believe it is hurting. And, so we need to keep praying.
Absolutely.
And Well, continuing on with one more story.
From our backyard.
From our own backyard. One Nation. Have you heard of One Nation?
Who hasn't?
One Nation. According to this poll conducted, this story came out on May 23, so Saturday, May 23, which was last Saturday, One Nation would become federal opposition if election held today, poll forecasts.
Wow.
Yeah, a major opinion poll forecasts One Nation would win dozens of seats if a federal election were held today. Pauline Hanson's party would not only come close to wiping out the coalition, but claim seats off Labor too, according to the Redbridge Group Ascent research poll. Oh,
well,
we're almost out of time.
You're going to have to explain the significance of this after we hear the Isaacs bring us Peace Like a River, and then we'll hear more about why this is really important.
Did you ever have an empty feeling many miles away from everybody's trying to treat you friendly, yet you're alone? It's taken some time for me to uncover the purpose he has in my life. Don't know where it will take me, but I know where I've been, and I know it feels so right. I got peace. No, I am not
listening to Faith FM, positively different radio.
Water you turned into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. None like you. Yeah. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. None like you. Oh, yeah. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. Awesome in power, our God. Our God, yeah, yeah.
Oh, oh, our God is great.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, oh, our God is great.
Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. None like you. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. Awesome in power. Our God. Our God. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God, our God, yeah. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? Oh, yes, stand against. Stand against. Oh, yeah. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God, our God.
Oh, oh, our God is greater.
Oh, oh,
our God is greater.
Oh, oh,
our God is greater.
Jesus. You are looking up with us here on the Looking Up Show, and a reminder about Giveaway, The French Pilot, a seafaring tale of adventure and faith by Alan Steele, story of a young boy set in the rural community in 17th century France. Little does he know that his life would take on a very amazing direction. And if you're interested in hearing a true story, a tale of an unsung hero of the Huguenots who migrated Andre and his family as they seek religious freedom halfway around the world, this is a story that you'll enjoy, Andre's story. So the code word that I think we'll just give it away right now is, that's Danny's drum roll because I don't know which button it is.
Is LU26 French.
All right. Nice and easy. Do you remember? So text LU26 French, FRENCH 204-888-17624. And everyone who texts can be a recipient
Amen.
Today.
Amen. And that's a great word because the French Tennis Open is right, not on right now.
Is that right?
And yeah, I'm a tennis fan, and I love playing tennis. So yeah, it's on right now at Roland Garros there in Paris. Now, I've got a couple of quick shout-outs. Sue's listening in. She's texted me.
God bless you.
Sue, she's been to Fiji twice, she said. She's loved the Fiji experience. So bula vanaka to you too, Sue. Also, Ace has texted us in. And,
nice.
Yeah, he's listening from his pizza shop there in Adelaide. He runs the Hilltop Pizzeria in O'Halloran Hill. So if you're anywhere near the pizza shop and you want a pizza and you're a looking up listener, if you go to the pizza shop, like I haven't consulted with Ace, but I'm making an offer on his behalf, he will give you either a 10% discount on your pizza or give you extra topping, give you a free extra topping or do something. I'm not sure.
Does he know about this?
No, he doesn't. No, okay. I'm just sort of sharing that on his behalf. I'm doing his advertising for him.
There you go.
A bit of advertising. So
I'm sure without, he'll appreciate that.
Without consultation. No, so anyway, Ace is a top bloke. So him and Linda and their wonderful daughter. So yeah, I'm looking forward to going to Adelaide and hopefully we'll get a chance to bump into each other next month.
Yeah, very good.
Absolutely.
Now, you read to us.
Yes, I did.
Something?
Yes, in connection.
Might need to remind us because we've had some songs.
Yes, we've had a couple of songs. So according to this poll that was conducted just the other day, they discovered, let me see who conducted this poll. Here we go. The Red Bridge Group and Ascent Research. So they conducted this poll and they surveyed 6,000 voters around Australia and they discovered that if a federal election were to be held right now, that the Pauline Hanson One Nation Party could win up to 59 seats federally. And that would be a whole heap more than the Liberal National Party. They were suggesting that if the vote was taken now, the Liberal National Party would probably win about, the Libs or the Coalition would win about 21 seats. Compared to 59, Labor would still win over 70 seats. But this just shows you this pendulum that is swinging, Charissa.
Mm-hmm.
This is all happening in a few months' time.
Yeah.
We have not seen this kind of unprecedented rise in politics in Australia in my lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
We have not seen it. Like from literally, I mean, Pauline Hanson, she up until Barnaby Joyce defected to the One Nation Party, they had zero members in federal parliament in the lower house, zero members.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was Barnaby Joyce, but he wasn't really elected. He defected, okay? He changed teams, which politicians are allowed to do. But then we had the Farah by-election, remember?
Mm-hmm.
The Farah, and so that was there.
I don't remember, but you
Yeah, the Farah by-election down there in Albury, that region. And so the David Farley, he won the Farah by-election, and that was the first time a One Nation Party member made it to federal parliament through the election process.
Wow.
Okay, we haven't had them being elected at a federal election, so we'll see what happens. But this just tells you that, you know, things are swinging.
Mm-hmm.
The pendulum is swinging mightily. Like, this is unprecedented. Have we used that word before?
We use it quite a bit.
We have never seen anything like this before. So, you know, both the Labor and the Liberal Party, National Party, they are just like absolutely freaking out. They are scared as to what could happen.
This has never happened in my lifetime, that's for sure.
No,
it's always
no.
been just between those two.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, we've always only had two to choose from, you know, either the Liberal Party or the Labor Party, and that kind of alternate, you know. Mm-hmm. The Labor Party would be in bed with the Greens. Liberal Party are connected with the Nationals.
Yep.
But as we are seeing society transitioning and changing in a way that we have not seen before at such a pace, people are crying out for that which is not the standard, you know, the sect. Quo criteria, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The status quo, that's the word I'm looking for. I went around and around.
Yeah.
So, yeah, people don't want the status quo anymore. They want individuals, real leaders that will actually do what they say and will not play politics. Because, I mean, you know, people's, you know, look at society, look at economy, look at the, you know, politics in the world, there's wars. There's so much upheaval in the world, and people are looking for someone that's going to provide some stability. And they don't care who it is, Charissa. They're no longer patriotic when it comes to their particular political party.
Yeah.
So they're looking for someone who's going to provide a solution. That's why Donald Trump got elected. Let's not forget how he got elected in 2016 and then got re-elected in 2024. He got re-elected not as a politician, but as someone who promised to get things back on track for the average Joe, the average Jill. So there you go.
It's all happening.
It is all happening. It's all happening. So that's that. All right. So off to Pope Leo.
Okay, so we're flying across the sea now.
We are flying across the sea. All right, current events. All right, so now this encyclical came out on May 25.
Yes.
So it happens to be my mum's birthday. I'm looking forward to seeing her in the resurrection. So I won't forget when the Pope's encyclical come out. So it came out, and it's interesting, the talk in connection with this, we knew that it was coming out. It was actually signed on May 15. You were correct. It was signed on May 15, yes. That is the anniversary
of... They just didn't want to release it then.
They didn't want to release it. They released it 10 days. There was too much going on, yeah. So 10 days later they released it. And this was once again an unprecedented event. Have I used that word already today?
Yes,
I have. So the reason why it was unprecedented is normally, according to what I'm hearing, an encyclical, which is sort of the highest authority in the Roman Church as far as any teaching or doctrine that it sends out to its members, you know, to the church.
Pastoral letter.
Yeah, pastoral letter, you could call it that. Very long pastoral letter, 42,000 words, this
for
one.
For the whole church.
For the whole church, but
and
this
one
for the world as well. This is for the world. And anyway... So this is unprecedented in that it was signed, on the anniversary of Rerum Novarum, which was Pope Leo XIII's encyclical in 1891 to address the Industrial Revolution when things were changing in a dramatic way in society. And so this encyclical is once again dealing with another evolution. A revolution, I should say, another revolution. This time it's the AI revolution. So since the Industrial Revolution, we have never had such a time as this when, you know, our lives as we know them, our working lives as we know them, everything in society is changing. Like where machines and humanity is coming together like in a way we've never seen before.
People are losing their jobs because they're being replaced.
Absolutely. Yeah. So what was interesting and unprecedented was that normally the cardinals just publish this, and it's published this time. No. This time Pope Leo himself, he is the one that released it in person. He gave a speech at the Vatican as he released it, which normally doesn't happen. Secondly, he had the co-owner of Anthropic, the AI, that big AI company in America, Anthropic, Chris Oller, there by his side. And he gave a speech.
I haven't studied any of this.
And he gave a speech.
Okay.
And Anthropic is currently suing the U.S. government. Because the U.S. government has taken away a number of billion-dollar contracts from Anthropic because Anthropic was not willing to give the United States Department of War full access to all of its capability in connection with it being able to wage war in a way that the U.S. So Anthropic is taking it to court. So
how interesting.
So he's got – so I'm telling you, can you see the pieces?
Yeah.
And has Donald Trump and Leo – had a bit of a spat of late.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Been all over social media.
So how's this going to go when Pope Leo has there by his side the co-founder or co-owner, I should say, of Anthropic, who happens to be suing the US government? So anyway.
Not a friendly look.
I'm telling you. All this stuff is very, very interesting. And, I mean, this is making news headlines around the world, including Al Jazeera. Al Jazeera, that's that Islamic news website that comes out of Doha. I listen to that kind of quite a bit because I find the views interesting and very different to our Western worldview. Anyway, they were sharing that interesting how theology is meeting technology. when theology. Anyway, so we need to talk a little bit about this. So this was the headline in the ABC on the ABC News. Listen to this. Pope Leo warns of AI becoming yet another Tower of Babel in encyclical. Did you get that part?
I've heard a sermon on this before.
Uh-huh.
Heard Doug Batchelor give a great sermon on
did,
AI
yeah,
and
he
the
did.
Connection with the
and
Tower of Babel.
And we have talked about this as well.
Yeah, we have.
We have talked about and
maybe he listens.
Maybe he listens to the Looking Up show. Leo, if you're looking, big shout out. No. So I was sharing not so long ago that in my humble opinion, AI is the Tower of Babel.
Yeah.
And where God intervened in the Tower of Babel, God is about to intervene in human affairs once again.
God is about to once again step into human history. We believe Jesus is coming again.
Amen.
It's fascinating, isn't it?
Amen.
And how Pope Leo XIII in his time came to his role at the turn of the revolution,
the Industrial Revolution.
It's just
he addresses workers' rights, labor rights. Yes, and this is also addressing workers' rights, rest, labor, humanity. It's really, really fascinating. Like, I mean, just the title of it. Here we go. Magnifica Humanitas, which is translated, the magnificence of humanity. It's interesting. The second coming of Jesus is not mentioned once.
Mm.
And so it's very much a secular humanistic document.
And the Bible talks about the second coming of Jesus, from my understanding.
Like almost 2,000 times.
Yeah. In the New Testament, one in every 25 verses deals with this.
That's correct. And so that is completely missing from this document. And so it's got here, the title and then the subtitle on safeguarding the human person in the time of artificial intelligence.
Mm.
And so we have here, this is how it begins. Should I read to you how it begins?
Yeah.
Humanity, so this is right at the beginning. This is the introduction. Humanity, created by God in all its grandeur, is today facing a pivotal choice, either to construct a new Tower of Babel or to build the city in which God and humanity dwell together. And he's speaking of Jerusalem, but not the new Jerusalem. He uses, the metaphor of Nehemiah, rebuilding Jerusalem after the captivity in Babylon. And so, yeah, it's really, really fascinating here how he's combining unity, humanity, justice, promoting fraternity, coming together. This is just so, so clear that what the Bible says in Revelation 13, where it says the whole world wondered after the beast, follows the dictates of the Church of Rome. And so this is the big, big issue of our time,
mm-hmm.
AI.
It sure is.
So I don't know what you're looking for, my friend. But
I thought you were picking up your Bible, so
yes,
I'm ready to
read a verse. Yep. So in Revelation 13, verse 3, we've got 30 seconds left. If you want to read that, please.
The Bible says, and I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast.
There you go. So that's what we are seeing right now. The whole world
is hanging on the words of the pontiff.
And in chapter 17, which we won't read because we don't have time, but there it says, the kings of the earth, the whole world, give their authority and power to the beast for 1 hour at the end of time. So this is simply saying that the Church of Rome will be leading the world in setting the moral and political framework for what comes next.
Fascinating.
Incredible.
Just like what the Bible says.
Amen.
Let's listen to Marlita Fong bring to us this beautiful song, The Lord's Prayer.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is. Thank you.
beautiful song, and that was my sister Marlita there bringing to us the Lord's Prayer.
Beautiful voice.
Yeah, beautiful. And the Lord's Prayer, you can't go wrong.
You can't go wrong, no.
Deliver us. We need the Lord's deliverance.
Amen, amen.
Well, you are listening to
and deliverance
the
is on its way. Deliverance amen. Is on its way.
Amen. That's why we're looking up.
That's
we're
indeed.
Waiting for Jesus
amen.
To come.
Amen, amen.
A reminder, the code word, LU26 French. Text that through to 04-888-17624 if you'd like to receive The French Pilot, A Seafaring Tale of Adventure and Faith by Alan Steele.
Amen, amen. And I can rest easy because my friend Ace, he has replied to my announcement in connection with how I was promoting his pizza shop and the giveaways I was making.
Good.
So as you can see, Sharissa here, he's got a picture of a piece.
Pizza, praying hands.
I'm not sure if that means that after you eat the pizza, you need to do a lot of praying because we're not quite sure what's going to happen. No. He's got thumbs up and a heart. So Ace is on board with my promotional, ideas.
Very good.
Now, in connection with this, encyclical, it is phenomenal. I went to AI. and I asked AI for a summary of some of the key themes. And these are some of the key themes that come through. And it's interesting, how all these fit within the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
You listen to this, Sharissa, this all fits within the Sabbath. This encyclical could have been written from a Sabbath perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Fits all the points.
There's a few key buzzwords.
Why is that significant? Because there will be a false Sabbath
right.
one day rolled out. But listen to this. So the Sabbath's not mentioned. Worship is not mentioned. But there are a number of other key words that are mentioned and phrases in connection with the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
Family.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. A big theme of the encyclical is family. You know, protecting it for the primary social good. It says here, the fundamental and irreplaceable cell of every community organization is the family, founded on the stable union between a man and a woman.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Do you remember? Do you remember that document from Heritage Foundation in January?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Saving America by saving the family the next 250 years.
So they're talking the same language.
They are. And the Heritage Foundation, their founders, are Roman Catholic as well. So this is all dovetailing. Here's another one on the family. I'm just sort of summarizing here what the encyclical protection through work policies. Pope Leo calls for labor policies that support family stability and provide humane rhythms of work, protecting the family's ability to build the future. Does that sound like what God originally said, that humans need rest? We're not machines. We need a rest one day.
The Sabbath was made for that.
Absolutely. So let's go to the encyclical and read the exact language. You mm-hmm. sent me a little screenshot of someone who'd put a little thing on this in connection with this. Do you remember sending that to me?
Oh, yes.
Yes. So that's from section 169. So there's 245 sections. Do you want to read that if you've got it there?
The section?
Yeah.
From the beginning of the section or the quote?
Okay, the quote.
I don't know where the quote begins.
Okay.
Sorry.
Well, measures. I'll read it then.
Yep.
It says here, this is from the Institute, measures mm-hmm. are needed to ensure a healthy way of living, for without a proper balance between work, leisure and rest, families are weakened and young people struggle to develop a sense of responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
So does that sound like the Sabbath?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Well, the Sabbath would solve that, wouldn't it?
It would. And then it goes on, as part of that section, labor policies need to promote continuity and the quality of employment, countering insecurity as a normal condition of life and encouraging realistic paths for entry into the workforce and for professional growth. So saying, you know, we need to be caring for this. And it goes on, it says, so in section 63, it mm-hmm. says, it is the state's responsibility, in other words, the government's responsibility, to ensure cohesion, unity, and the proper organization of civil society so that the common good can be pursued with everyone's contribution.
Yeah.
So the common good, you're going to hear that over and over and over and over again.
Isn't it?
That's a big, big buzzword. All right. So some other things in connection with rest. Okay. This is what he says in connection with rest. The encyclical warns against tech consumption that exploits workers, calling for the protection of those involved in the digital economy. Okay, and that's true. So all this is very true. It's got here in connection with peace. Unarmed and disarming peace. Pope Leo warns of a new Cold War driven by technology and calls for a peace that is both unarmed and disarming, built through justice and dialogue rather than with power.
Mm.
Does it say anything in the Bible about they'll be crying for peace and safety? Does the Bible say that the Roman papacy will be at the head of the queue promoting peace and safety?
Yes.
Absolutely. We've read that in Daniel chapter 8, verse 25.
Mm-hmm.
Let me read it to you. In fact, if you want to read Daniel 8, 25, out of the KJV, it says it more clearly.
All right, I've got it here.
Have you got the KJV? Daniel 8, 25. Could you read that for us, please?
Yes, the Bible here says, "And through his policy he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand."
Wow. This is in connection with the Roman papacy in Daniel 8, 2,500 years ago. It's interesting. Through policy. Mm. Does that sound like encyclical language?
Try and thought of that.
You can't make this stuff up, Charissa.
Yeah.
You can't make this stuff up. Through his policy. He shall also cause craft to prosper. Now, I looked at those words, all right, in Strong's Concordance. Here is the word for policy. Okay, this is what it means from Strong's.
Tell us.
Discretion, knowledge, policy, prudence, sense, understanding, wisdom, wise.
Mm.
Is this encyclical considered
all
that?
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
All right, the word craft, in the sense of deceiving, fraud, craft, deceit, false, feigned, guile, subtly, or treachery. So this is saying this is all going to come.
Mm.
It's going to be great on the outside, you know, a bit like the serpent in the garden. Now, I'm not knocking this document. It's brilliant. But the problem is I know where Bible prophecy is heading.
Mm-hmm.
If I didn't have Revelation and Daniel, if I didn't know where things were tending, I'd be part of the cheer squad. I'd be in the front row of the cheer squad.
Yeah.
As much as this is wonderful, but it's going to be used for the wrong purpose at the end of time. And so that's where the word craft comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Then peace. Okay, the word peace in Daniel 8:25, it literally means security,
mm-hmm.
genuine or false, depending on the context. And we know that this is going to be false security that will be rolled out. Abundance, peace, prosperity, and quietness.
And he's going to stand up against the Prince of Princes, that's Jesus, right?
Yeah, that's right. But he shall be broken without hand, so that's when Jesus intervenes. We are right there.
We are, when you put it all like that.
We are right there. Condemnation of autonomous weapons. Now, you know, going back to the encyclical here, the letter argues against autonomous weapons systems that lack human oversight. The United States in particular is having a dig at them big time. Arguing that removing human control makes it difficult to justify war. And that's true because the systems can get it wrong because they are trained.
Mm.
You know, they can get it wrong. And if you don't have human oversight.
That's right.
And that's apparently what happened.
Biases can be magnified.
That's apparently what happened when the United States on the first day of the war in Iran, they struck that primary school, that boarding primary school. That was AI, apparently.
Wow.
Yeah. So it hasn't come out yet, but many are suspecting that was through the AI. Because, I mean, how do you – and I think it was Scaffy that mentioned or someone else mentioned, or maybe it was Justin, Justin Lawman on the Perfect Storm show where they talk about this stuff. That it's impossible for humans to find, locate, and then, you know, to decide which targets to, you know, destroy hundreds of them in a day.
Mm-hmm.
It's impossible for humans to do that. We don't have the ability to do that.
Yeah.
But AI has the ability to do that. But AI can get it wrong. And that used to be like an army base or something in connection with the army. But
then they built a school.
But the AI.
How sad.
So there you go. So anyway, peace. Did I mention peace? Yeah, peace.
Yep.
Unity is part of this encyclical civilization of love, community over individualism, solidarity in technology. That's the Sabbath.
Yeah, a lot of it sounds so good. And many of our listeners might be wondering, how did you see into all of these things? But I guess when you are studying the Bible, mm-hmm. you know the buzzwords to look for and the little markers to indicate we're moving in the direction.
The common good.
Prophecy says.
The common good. That's Revelation 17 language. Have
Is
a look
right?
at Revelation 17 language.
All right.
Common good, Revelation 17. I'm telling you, just reading through this encyclical, I'm just like reading Revelation. Revelation 17.
The 12, two are very different.
The two are very different. Revelation tells us what will be coming.
Yes.
What we are seeing is revealing what Revelation has told us. Revelation 17, 12 and 13. And see if you can pick it up.
And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast.
What does one mind sound like?
United, unity.
Common good. Mm-hmm. Does that sound like common good?
Yeah,
sure. Absolutely. They will have the common good. So these 10 kings are representative of the world political systems. Mm-hmm. All the world's political systems will give their authority, their power to the Roman papacy. That is the beast in Revelation 17. They are of one mind because they are all now focused on the common good mm-hmm. for the sake of peace and safety.
Wow. Well, you've got more to share on that?
I'm going to just leave it there. They're just some keys.
Do you want to tell us now about our friend in the United States?
Oh, yes. Which friend
While
is
we
that?
Have time.
Yes. Okay. Is that?
Donald Trump's made some interesting.
By the way, before I go there, real quick.
Yes.
This came out in Vatican News. I read this. This came out. When did it come out? I haven't got the date here. But anyway, it came out literally in the last week or so. And the headline was Pope to Tawadros II. In a world afflicted by conflict, Christians must witness unity. Hmm. Pope Leo XIV spoke with Coptic Orthodox Pope Tawadros II for the occasion of the Day of Coptic Catholic Friendship and reaffirmed their shared responsibility to proclaim the gospel and promote peace, and encouraged both churches to continue their journey together toward full communion, full unity between the Orthodox and the Catholic Church that has been separated for over 1,000 years.
Wow. You just snuck that one in.
All right. Okay. All right. So, and we talked about Anthropic. We'll leave that. And Chris, it's just incredible how all these things are happening at the same time. All right. So, our friend Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
All right. According to this Monday ABC headline, Donald Trump calls on Abraham nations to recognize Israel as part of Iran war deal. So what did you find interesting about that? Because you sent that through to me.
Well,
the Abraham Accord.
Well, he's really wanting people to sign it, but the language that's being used is kind of forceful, like of a causing nature.
like he tweets, I am mandatorily requesting that all countries immediately sign the Abraham Accords. He's speaking of, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, Pakistan, Turkey.
This is he's exercising his power there.
And he said it'd be nice if Iran also signed it. It'd be nice.
Wouldn't it?
But this is the lamb-like beast flexing its muscles.
That's right.
That's the point.
Yeah. And these two beast powers are gaining more and more prominence in our world.
Seriously. Isn't that incredible? Absolutely incredible. Well, Pakistan told Donald Trump, you can take a hike because we are definitely not doing that. We are not signing an accord. And so this, once again, is also playing into that evangelical worldview of Israel at the center of Bible prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, this is really, really interesting. So we haven't got long left, have we?
No, but we've got a bit more time.
Okay. So wildfires ravaging southeastern U.S. force mass evacuation. So there's fires, there's drought. Out in the US, in Europe, there's a heat wave going on there. 35 degrees in London in May, the hottest day on record in London in May.
Wow.
Absolutely. The UFOs, the second batch.
We didn't talk about those.
Well, we talked about that at length last time, so we won't. But this is once again preparing the world for spiritualism.
For the entrance
of
the supernatural.
All these things are converging.
They sure
are. It's all converging at the same time.
Something is going on.
So that's all happening. At the same time, I'll leave it. I'll leave it there because we're coming up to a song.
You had so much more to say, but I don't know how to stop the clock. So Adrian Kemp is going to bring to us What Have I Done? And then we'll continue with more after that.
Hey everyone, you're listening to a repeat of our live show, Looking Up.
That's right, and if you think this is good, you'll definitely want to tune in on Wednesdays at 3:30 to join us for the live event, because you can actually participate. There's a free giveaway that you can claim. You can text in your questions and prayer requests.
Live is so much more fun, so catch you then.
What have I done, Lord Jesus, to deserve your endless love? What have I done, Lord Jesus, to be worthy of your grace? What have I done, Lord Jesus, to be standing here with you? What have I done, Lord Jesus, to be worthy of you?
I'm Rochelle, and you can join me every Thursday afternoon on Faith FM for the Book Nook. We'll discover great books, chat with inspiring authors, and enjoy great music and giveaways. We'll also be joined by Lyle Southwell each week for Question of the Day, where you'll get answers to your Bible questions. There's no question too big, too small, or too strange. So text in on 0488 80856. Tune in live to The Book Nook with Rochelle each Thursday from 3:30 p.m. New South Wales time.
You're listening to Faith FM, positively different radio.
Yes, you are. We're so glad you're still with us. And a reminder that the code word today is LU26 French for the giveaway book, The French Pilot, A Seafaring Tale of Adventure and Faith. So text LU26 French FRENCH to 0488817624.
Amen. Amen. So get to it, folk. You will love this book. Great little book to read. So, Charissa, before we get to our great controversy, chapter 12, unpacking it, just a couple more things, and then we're going to slide right in. So we'll have plenty of time, which is great. In connection with this encyclical, back to the encyclical, okay, it's news to no one, unless you've been living under a rock for the last 5-10 years in particular, that our world is in upheaval, and that is bringing incredible stress into people's lives.
Oh, yeah. Okay?
Incredible stress. And now AI is just accelerating that stress. Mm-hmm. So this encyclical is hitting a nerve. Mm-hmm. It is hitting the nerve worldwide.
It's resonating with hearts.
I love that language. That's why Charissa's here, to give us just the right language. Absolutely resonating with hearts around the world.
Yeah.
Okay. So in connection with where our world is at, and just to help us all understand and put it into perspective, this was a headline. I'd rather not read this, but this tells us that we are living in times of stress, as Timothy told us, you know, in the last days there will be times of stress.
Mm-hmm. Men's hearts failing them for fear.
Yes, that's Jesus' words in Luke 21, yes. And the expectation of those things that are coming upon the world, you know, because the earth, powers of heavens will be shaken. Yeah, that's Luke 21. And then after that, looking up, you know, look up because your redemption is drawing near. That's right. A powerful passage. But anyway, Friday, May 22, ABC News put out this headline and this story: almost 1.2 billion people living with mental disorders worldwide, as case numbers nearly double since 1990.
Now, did they give any indication of what they think causes all of this, apart from stress?
Well, they went through and they did talk about how in the last three decades, mental health disorders now account for 17% of all disability worldwide, wow, according to this report that was published in Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation, mm-hmm, from the University of Queensland. So they published this, you know, this story, gave these details in, you know, the famous Lancet. Have you heard of the Lancet magazine?
Yes.
Yeah, so
yes,
that's a real high-quality magazine. So anyway, it says in 1990 there was an estimated 599 million cases of mental health disorders globally. 33 years later, in 2023, there's an estimated 1.17. Of the 12 mental disorders assessed, anxiety disorders and major depressive disorders were the most common.
Mm-hmm.
So anxiety and depression, which is really sad. And you know people, I know people, we all know people who suffer from anxiety and depression. And Charissa, there's never been a time that young people in particular were impacted by anxiety and depression like today.
No.
Especially since smartphones came to town.
Yes.
The internet, it is just accelerated.
Totally. And it's also just the byproduct of sin and brokenness in,
absolutely,
relationships and homes that add to all of this as well.
Okay. So the big ones are, you know, I won't go through them all, but the ones that are really skyrocketing as I look at this graph between 1990 and 2023. And by the way, just in case you're wondering, the world population has not doubled,
yep,
in that time. So this is going above and beyond our population growth, Charissa. So, mm-hmm, that's a worrying sign.
Yes.
And no wonder Pope Leo is coming out with this encyclical to address humanity.
Yeah.
You know, where are we going? And so the ones that are really been growing are major depressive disorder. That's, mm-hmm, right up there. Mm-hmm. And the other one is anxiety disorders. So there's anorexia nervosa. That's really gone through the roof. Bulimia, which is very similar. Autism spectrum disorders have gone through the roof as well. So you can see this. See the big buildings there on this graph?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, they're the ones I've just read out. Can, mm-hmm, you see?
Mm-hmm.
They're really going up. A few of the other ones have just gone up a little bit.
Yeah.
Some of them have gone backwards. Praise the Lord for that. But the majority are sadly heading in the wrong direction. Yeah, so that tells us that the only hope, Charissa, is Jesus.
He always has been and always will, yeah, be.
And you know what? He's the Prince of Peace.
He is.
He's the Prince of Peace. We're seeking for peace and safety.
Yeah.
Jesus, according to Isaiah, is the Prince of Peace.
Yes. And the Bible says, I believe in the same book, perfect peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them.
Amen. And Christ wants to be that refuge for each and everyone, that place of safety for every single one of us. So, yeah, and there's Ebola, you know, this outbreak that is outpacing.
Diphtheria, Ebola.
Health response, you know.
All kinds of viruses coming in all
this
time.
Kind of
pandemics,
things.
Pandemics, pestilences everywhere.
It's all converging, telling us that Jesus is coming soon. So that's it for our current events. We will no doubt continue. Mm-hmm. Next time we are together. So we're going to now head off to this incredible study.
Yes.
Summary of chapter 12 of the Great Controversy.
Well, you mentioned Jesus being the Prince of Peace, and he's the only place where we can find peace. And that's
Amen.
True today, but it's also been true throughout all time.
Amen.
And during the time of the Dark Ages and the Reformation, we find that people are discovering that very truth, that Christ and Christ alone was their safety and their refuge and their hope. So just right now, we're going to begin our it's our book review, I guess, our chapter reflection together of chapter 12 of The Great Controversy, Daybreak in France. It's such an inspiring chapter, actually, because there were some pretty dark days ahead in France coming later, but this was a bright time in their history.
Amen.
Yeah, so should we just dive in, or should we open with a prayer?
You decide.
Let's pray.
Okay.
Father in heaven, as we spend this time now going through this chapter, we pray that the stories of faithfulness in the past would be an inspiration to our listeners in the present. We
Amen.
Pray that you would help us, like them, to put our trust completely in Jesus and Christ alone as our only hope and our only source of refuge and peace in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So if anyone doesn't have this book, they can simply text the letters GC to this number, 0488817624, and we will make sure that a copy is delivered to you personally, because this book is an epic book. In our previous chapter, which was now several weeks ago, we talked about the protest of the princes.
Of Germany, yeah.
Yeah, and our listeners may remember what a heroic stand those princes took right then. But wasn't very long after that protest happened that there was a time where it looked like Protestantism was going to be destroyed. There was division. Thousands were killed during this time, sealed their testimony with their blood. The author writes here in this beginning of this chapter, and my chapter is called Daybreak in France, which is a really positive thing. And war broke out. Civil war breaks out. And it's always been the case, like in every age, there's been this controversy. There's been this conflict. That's why the book's called The Great Controversy.
Amen.
And we talk about all these headlines today, but really that's the great controversy playing out. We see the battle for the human heart, for the
mind.
And
allegiance. And
allegiance. Come to the final allegiance.
Yes, that's what I was thinking of.
America in crisis coming.
July 3 and 4.
Yeah, July 3, 4, Hamilton. But all of this happens. But during this time, even though there was this attack going on against the Reformation and Protestantism, she writes here this line, Charles V had been battling against omnipotent power. So these forces that were trying to stop Protestantism from spreading were pitting themselves against God himself. God had said, and I like how she writes this, God had said, let there be light. But the emperor had sought to keep the darkness unbroken. His purposes had failed. And in premature old age, worn out with the long struggle, he abdicated the throne and buried himself in a cloister.
Wow.
I mean, we know how powerful God's word is. Mm. When God spoke in the book of Genesis, all he had to do was say the words, let there be light, and light appeared. Let the dry land appear, and let dry land appear. There's power in God's word.
Amen.
And you cannot pit yourself against God and win. So from this time, there are people who die for their faith at this time, but God, whose counsels are from everlasting, had not forsaken his cause or his people, she writes. He would bring deliverance for them. And in other lands, he raised up laborers to carry forward the reform. And here is the first person that she highlights here in the chapter in France. Interestingly, before Luther had been known as a reformer, this was the first one. One of the first to catch the light was an aged, how do you say his name?
Lefebvre. I don't know. I've got no idea.
That sounded very French to me, so I'm happy with that. Lefebvre.
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 I think I'm...
maybe you can text us and tell us how to say this. But he was a man of learning, a professor of in the University of Paris, and a sincere and zealous papist.
You know what's fascinating, Charissa? How many of these were sincere and zealous papists, as in part of the Church of Rome?
So true.
Martin Luther, John Huss, Wycliffe, yeah. All of them.
They were all very...
Well, it was the Church of Rome. There was only one show in town. There was only one show in town, generally speaking. It was the Church of Rome.
That's true. And they were so sincere, every one of them.
Oh, absolutely.
And I don't think any one of them had in their eyes or in their minds that they would ever break away.
Oh, no way.
Or definitely not pit themselves against the church. They sought only to serve God and to reform, like to help the church stay on the right course.
That's right. That's right.
But anyway, this guy, he's a very gifted man, Lefebvre. He turns his attention to the Bible, and he's a teacher, so he's introducing the Bible to his students. And it's very beautiful reading about how he discovered precious truths as he was teaching the Bible here. She writes here, in 1512, either before Luther or Zwingli had begun the work of reform, Lefebvre wrote, "It is God who gives us by faith that righteousness which by grace alone justifies to eternal life."
Now, I read that, I highlighted it. That's just gold.
Isn't it? It's like water on a dry and thirsty land, those words.
Yeah, this is beautiful. This is 1512. Luther nailed his thesis on the Wittenberg Church door, the 95 Theses, in 1517. So this is 5 years before that. And, and almost 10 years before 1521, here I stand.
Mm-hmm.
He's in a totally
different country.
Absolutely. So this is the Holy Spirit working upon hearts in different lands. They didn't have communication means like we do today.
Right.
They were all just doing their own thing in their own little patch. Mm-hmm. And the Holy Spirit is the one uniting and coordinating all sincere seekers for truth in the way of truth according to God's word.
Amen.
And this is the time when the Bibles were becoming more accessible. The printing press, just right on time in the 1450s, mm-hmm. comes to town, Gutenberg's printing press, just right on time before the Reformation really gets into high gear.
And she talks about that a little bit later.
She does,
too.
Yeah.
And how at the same time
the translation of
Bible,
the French Bible,
it's coming at the same time. It's
just like we have a convergence of world signs telling us that Jesus coming is drawing near today.
Yes.
So too there was a convergence of events and a convergence of God-ordained institutions and inventions that were taking place then that brought the gospel into the light such as we had not seen before as we were moving out of those dark ages.
And there are people everywhere, even today, mm-hmm. who are seeing the convergence. They can't make sense of it, but they sense it. There's a lady who came to our church. I was talking with her at the fellowship lunch on Sabbath, and she was talking about, she's just recently started coming back to church. And I said, "What brought you back?" And she said, "Oh, I see a lot of things happening in the world that I don't think should be happening, and I just want to come back to God." So that was exciting. People recognize the convergence, and their hearts are being stirred. The Holy Spirit
is working. And they realize what it's leading. That's leading to something.
Yeah, but they don't know how or what, but they want to know.
They're open,
They're very open. You know, speaking of that beautiful quote he wrote there, the next one, right in the next paragraph, is also, "Dwelling upon the mysteries of redemption, he exclaimed," this is Lefebvre. Sorry.
Hello, you're doing well.
I'm trying. But listen to this. This is what he exclaimed. "Oh, the unspeakable greatness of that exchange. The sinless one is condemned, and he who is guilty goes free. The blessing bears the curse, and the cursed is brought into blessing. The life dies, and the dead live. The glory is whelmed in darkness, and he who knew nothing of confusion of face is clothed with glory." Mm. Like, if that's not righteousness by faith, I don't know what is. Like, beautiful, beautiful pictures of
absolutely.
God were given and as he's studying the Bible.
Absolutely.
So there are some of the students of his that listened, and they wanted to take on the truth he was declaring. And one of them was a man by the name of William Farrell. And we'll talk more about him after we hear this beautiful song. Marlita's going to sing to us again, this song, Write Them on My Heart. I love this song because that's exactly where God wants His law, Amen. His character to be written on our hearts today.
You have written what you want from me in stone, a reflection of your character, O Lord. So I try to keep your laws without regret, but I'm easily distracted and forget. So write them on my heart, seal them in my mind. The beauty of your law and grace combined remind me just how lovely your commandments are, and write them on the tablets of my heart. There's only one desire inside of me. It's to be everything you've created me to be. And I know the only way that I can grow is for you to come inside and take control.
So write them on.
We're looking up and we are reading a chapter in the Great Controversy about people and many centuries ago who did look up to Christ.
Amen.
And they were not disappointed. And now we're about to explore in chapter 12 of the Great Controversy the story of a man named William Farrell, who was a student of that French professor we were just talking about, who had so many beautiful pictures of the righteousness of Christ in his writings. Is there anything that stood out to you?
Yeah, look, I guess for me, once again, like what we've shared about many others, not just in this chapter, and there's a number of others that I mentioned, but beyond, he was a sincere seeker for truth.
Yes.
And I love this little section here. Farrell joyfully accepted the truth.
Mm-hmm.
By a conversion like that of Paul, he turned from the bondage of tradition to the liberty of the sons of God.
Yes.
You know, so it's just so beautiful to see, you know, as the light comes through the darkness, these individuals making a decision. And another one who made a decision to stand on the truth was the sister of the King of France, mm-hmm. Francis the First. Her name was Princess Margaret.
Right.
And, you know, she made a decision to stand with the Reformation. It says here, the king himself and the queen mother appeared for a time to regard it with favor. That is the Reformation, mm-hmm. you know, this truth that God was showering upon France. And with high hopes, the reformers looked forward to the time when France should be won to the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
So she was really at the forefront, Princess Margaret. So it just shows you that, you know, humble people, priests,
yes.
you know, educators, Church of Rome educators, including, you know, this princess, you know, they're all seeking and searching. And it's interesting that Francis the First, you know, for a time there, he was really considering whether he too would join the Reformation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And here, you know, the author points out that Francis wavered between Rome and the Reformation. Rome and the Reformation. You know, this great controversy that you're talking about. Which way will I go? You know, will I go with that which is more popular as far as, you know, my political aspirations are concerned, or will I stand on the side of truth?
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, Charisse, it's going to boil down to, will I stand up for God's truth, which will not be popular at the end of time, and be willing to be exposed to difficulties and challenges,
mm-hmm.
or will I stand with God's truth in the midst of those challenges and stand on the word of God and be faithful and loyal to Jesus.
Amen. There's a sense where the great controversy is around us. Then there is a sense where the great controversy really comes home to our
Amen.
Hearts, and we have to make that choice in our hearts, like you just pointed out, that which side we will take. It's a personal choice for every single person. So, it talks here about the printing of the French New Testament was published, and as people were reading this, I like how she says, as travelers perishing from thirst welcome with joy a living water spring, so did these souls receive the message of heaven. Like, the Bible was just precious to them. They couldn't get enough of it. Instead of resorting to the wine shops, they're assembling at people's homes, just wanting to read the Bible and pray together and praise God. And great changes were seen in the communities, from the humble, hardworking class in peasantry and all the way up. This, wherever the Bible was read and studied, it changed lives and
changed the society.
It changed the society, and it's happened many times.
Absolutely,
hasn't it?
Absolutely.
Revivals.
So what's interesting, Charisse, is this is what is being proposed in the United States at the moment. We need the Bible back in schools. We need the Bible back in society. But it's not through the Holy Spirit bringing about this revival based on people's willingness to receive it of their free and own accord. It's religion prescribing it. It's religion legislating. And that's where the trouble comes.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the trouble comes. There's nothing wrong with the Bible.
No.
The Bible transforms lives, and the Bible transforms communities. The Bible transforms countries. The Bible would transform our world.
Yeah.
And ultimately, you know, the new heaven and the new earth will be founded and grounded on the principles of God, which are in the Bible.
But God's word doesn't need us to enforce it.
Exactly. That's the point.
Yeah.
Because it's the conversion of the heart
Amen.
That only God can do through love and not coercion rather than legislation.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, very, very, very powerful as we read these stories and the reminder of what God wants to do in our lives today.
Now, there's a mention here of the Bishop of Meaux. And
yes.
I'm saying Mo, hopefully the French way. Is that
I think that's right.
Okay. The Bishop of Mo was forced to choose between fire and recantation and accepted an easier path. It was too much to suffer, but his flock remained steadfast, and many witnessed for the truth amid flames by their courage and fidelity at the stake. These humble Christians spoke to thousands who in days of peace had never heard their testimony. All of this gives way to another person, another reformer who I actually had not really thought about before and missed, Louis de Bequin.
Yeah, Louis de Bequin. Yeah.
Yeah, this guy was quite courageous as well.
He was. Well, he was martyred in the end.
Yeah.
He experienced martyrdom.
That's true. And there were people that said of him, he's worse than Luther. He was.
That would be the ultimate compliment.
Right. This guy was three times imprisoned by the papal authorities, only to be released by the monarch, who, in admiration of his genius and his nobility of character, refused to sacrifice him to the malice of the hierarchy. But yeah, he spoke up. He was not afraid to speak up. And listen to this. But as dangers thickened, Bequin's zeal only waxed stronger.
I know.
He would not only stand in defense of the truth, but he would attack error. The charge of heresy which the Romanists were seeking to fasten upon him, he would rivet upon them. It's like she talks about how the same author in another place talks about how we need to find courage from or warmth from the coldness of others. Like somehow all the coldness and the attacks just fueled him further for the Lord.
And it's interesting, you know, when he was being martyred, people were amazed, you know, to gaze upon his countenance, which was radiant with the light and peace of heaven.
True.
And, she writes, Bequin, if that's how you say his name, the martyr's thoughts were far from that scene of tumult, you know, his death. He was conscious only of the presence of his Lord.
Oh, beautiful.
You know, so he was looking up as those flames were circling around him. He was looking up. He was not discouraged. He knew his Redeemer. And I think of you know, the words of Job, you know, when he was going through his trials and tribulations, he said, I know that my Redeemer lives. And I know that on that day, you know, he will arise.
Amen.
And I will see him in my flesh face to face.
Amen. I also highlighted a line under that. He was about to testify to his faith in the presence of the King of Kings and the witnessing universe, and no token of mourning should belie his joy. Well, this man is strangled to death, his body burned, but his example, his life, witnessed by those around, it was not wasted. And again, more people are inspired to follow Jesus, to follow the light of Bible truth. And it seems like whenever persecution arrives in an attempt to squash it out, it just drives it further.
It does.
And the next person who steps onto the scene is a man by the name of John Calvin.
Yeah, he's a familiar name, isn't he, to many Christians? John Calvin.
Yeah. And he wasn't a fan at first of Protestantism. And he says, yet he was brought face to face with the heresy and forced to test the power of Romish theology to combat the Protestant teaching. And he had this conversation with a cousin.
Yeah, Olivetan.
Yeah, Olivetan. And the cousin said, the one class of religions are those, there are, sorry, but two religions in the world. The one class of religions are those which men have invented, in all of which man saves himself by ceremonies and good works. The other is that one religion which is revealed in the Bible and which teaches man to look for salvation solely from the free grace of God. And those words played in his heart that night, and he wouldn't leave him. And Calvin, I guess after that, he has an experience too, doesn't he? He sees someone dying for their faith, being burned in a public square. And it says here, she says, amid the tortures of that dreadful death and under the more terrible condemnation of the church, he manifested, this person that was dying, a faith and a courage which the young student, that's Calvin, painfully contrasted with his own despair and darkness while living in strictest obedience to the church. Upon the Bible, he knew the heretics rested their faith. He determined to study it and discover, if he could, the secret of their joy. That's where it all begins. And then probably my favorite line, in the Bible, he found Christ.
Amen.
And it made the difference. He makes all the difference.
And, you know, and this is someone who was, you know, prepared by the Church of Rome. You could say, you know, they had high hopes of him because he was a very, very able, very, very smart individual, you know, that he would become one of the most honored defenders of the church. But yet he had a heart that was seeking for truth. And I love what Jesus said, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. If you abide in my word, John 8:31 and 32, you will know the truth. And so those who abide in the word, those who are seekers for truth, search and you will find. Yeah. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. That's what Jesus says. Mm-hmm. And so everyone and anyone who is a seeker after truth, the truth that sets us free, God will reveal that to you.
Amen. Amen. Well, Calvin is young. He's just a young man when he enters upon his work, and he is in the province under the protection of a lady by the name of Princess Margaret.
Yeah, that's the sister of King Francis.
That's the one first. You referred
yep.
to before.
Yep.
And she was clinging to the hope that Protestantism would triumph in France. And she resolved that the Reformed faith should be preached in Paris. During the absence of the king, I love this, she ordered a Protestant minister to preach in the churches of the city, but this being forbidden by the papal dignitaries, the princess threw open the palace. An apartment was fitted up as a chapel, and it was announced that every day at a specified hour, a sermon would be preached, and the people of every rank and station were invited to attend, and crowds flocked to the service. The spirit of life from heaven seemed to be breathed upon the people. There were thousands every day assembled, nobles, statesmen, lawyers, merchants, and artisans. Amazing, hey?
Absolutely. You know, I just love the bravery, the boldness of the sister of the king.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's putting her neck on the line as well.
Because the king wasn't exactly in favor of it.
No, he wasn't. He was wavering, but then sadly towards the end,
he made
a decision to stick with error and, you know, and the Roman papacy rather than go with the Reformation. How things could have been so different in France, because this sets the stage for what happens several centuries later and the guillotine and the French, you know, revolution, which is one of the chapters that we're going to get to.
Mm-hmm.
And it just shows that if those foundations are not right, there are consequences down the track. And so the French people, you know, the France, and there was so much persecution, so many noble individuals left France because of the persecution. And so the country was drained of some of its brightest and most ablest.
Mm.
And it's really, really sad.
Yeah.
Really, really sad. So
true. Well, for 2 years, the word of God is preached in the capital. But as with every time God's word goes forth, there's opposition.
Mm.
Satan is always working to try and oppose the spreading of the light of God's truth. And soon churches were closed and the stake was set up as Romanists tried to pull everything into their control. Calvin was now in his life was threatened by the flames. And so he thought he was safe. But one night there's a knock at the door. And in a moment, he's rushed upstairs. His friends detain the people at the front door, and others help him out the window, much like Paul.
That's what I was thinking.
One of his escapes. And off he goes to another safe place. But even so, while he's away, he manages to escape the Bible. The Great Controversy, rather, says that Calvin's heart was set upon evangelization of France, and he could not long remain inactive.
And he came back, didn't he?
He did. Kept going.
Very, very powerful. And, you know, we also have there many other things in that chapter. You know, there were those who were foolish, taking the reform to extremes, and they brought, you know, evil to the cause of God, sadly. You know, we've got the rise of the Jesuits in this chapter and why, you know, why they came onto the scene, so people can read that for themselves and check it out.
But we just missed a couple of pages here at the end.
Yeah, but all in all, God is at work, and you can clearly see God working in the midst of this great controversy.
Amen. Well, we're going to have one last song, and then we'll summarize all of these thoughts right after that. Brendan Walmsley, can't say his name, but he's got the whole
world. There's a song I first heard beside a campfire on the Cape or out beyond the Western Downs, sung by one old wiry ringer, some say not much of a singer, but his words rang true for us few gathered round. He said, let me sing of a wonderful story we were thought of long before we came to be. Every step we took was ordered, each day we lived recorded, the Creator had it sorted to a T. Yes, He did, and He still does,
And it's all because of love. He's got the whole world in his hands, and he knows the plans for us. Above and beyond we could ask or imagine. His grace is more than enough. It's in his hands. It's in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands.
Come on, Steve.
Oh, let me sing how we wound up going sideways. We were screaming down the highway on our own. So scared he couldn't find us, but he was always there behind us to take us by the hand and guide us home. Yes, he did, and he still does, and it's all because of love.
He's got the whole world in his hands, and he knows the plans for us. Above and beyond we could ask or imagine. His grace is more than enough. It's in his hands. It's in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. Let me sing of the day we stand in glory. The author tells his story and we'll see how he brought all things together, saw us caught up in a tether. Well, we thought that he would never set us free, but he did, and he still does, and it's all because of love. Come on. He's got the whole world in his hands, and he knows the plans for us. Above and beyond we could ask or imagine. His grace is more than enough.
He's got
the whole world in his hands. Grace is more than enough. It's in his hands. It's in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. I'm in his hands. I'm in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands.
Brendan Walmsley, bringing to us that song, He's Got the Whole World in His Hands. That's what a relief it is to know that is the truth.
And what a happy song.
A very happy song.
Amen.
To uplift us as we close.
Amen.
But we've had a good time today.
We've
covered, I think, a lot of ground.
I'm proud of how I kept quiet.
I was impressed.
I know. It's wonderful. So we can get through that incredible chapter, which you did a great job navigating us through.
We still have some to get through.
Look.
Listeners will enjoy the read.
I listened to it on the audio a couple of times, and it goes for an hour on the audio. So, folk, if there is someone out there who maybe doesn't like reading, you can actually listen to The Great Controversy chapter by chapter in audio form. So as you're driving, as you're cooking, as you're doing whatever, you can just listen to the audio version. So it's just wonderful. So yeah, I would do that if I was you. I enjoy doing that. It's just wonderful just to be able to listen to the audio version as well.
Yeah, well, we've got just a couple of moments left to share some summative reflections on our program today. What would you like to add in this space?
Well, I just love this chapter that we've looked at, you know, the French Reformation, everything that we've talked about today that is happening in the world, you know, how there's a convergence of all these different events, these signs telling us that Jesus is drawing near, that we are, you know, to continually be looking up because our redemption is drawing near.
Mm.
And, you know, just how God works and how how God has been working during the, you know, during that Reformation period, just bringing light out of the darkness through his word. And the Bible says, thy word is a light. So he's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, you know, Psalm 119, 105. And as I think about that, I do want to share a scripture here that I was thinking about. It's in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 19 to 21. And this is what it says. Peter writes, and so we have the prophetic word confirmed. Or I like how the King James puts it. We have a more sure word of prophecy.
Amen.
That was my title on Sabbath when I preached at RTM, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place.
Yes.
Until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Mm. Now, who is that morning star?
It's Jesus.
It's Jesus. We read in Revelation chapter 2, verse 28, I will give him the morning star. Jesus here speaking of himself to the church of Thyatira. Mm. And then in Revelation 22, verse 16, notice in the last chapter of Revelation, what we have here. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. So this is Jesus speaking. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star.
Amen.
Jesus himself says, I am the bright and morning star. So this scripture here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, the word of God shines the light. Jesus is the light of the world. It shines the light of Jesus in this dark world, in this dark place, drawing us and leading us to that dawning of the day, which is Christ, the morning star, who is to rise in our hearts.
Amen.
I just love that. I just love that. And it goes on and speaks of, you know, that no scripture is of any private interpretation and so forth, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So we thank God for the Holy Spirit who is moving upon people's hearts and bringing light out of darkness, pointing them to the morning star, Jesus Christ, who wants to rise in the heart of each and every man, woman, and child.
Yes. I believe, as you do, that God still wants to shine his
Amen.
Light into every human heart
Amen.
Today, to shine the light of his love, the truth of who he is, that he has made a way of escape from the mess of this world and the offer of an eternity with him. And it's really up to each one of us to open our hearts to him. That's all we have to do. Just open the door and the light of God's truth can come in. And we just, I love that it's that simple. And as we're seeing in the Reformation and throughout this book, people who turn to God experience that transformation. And
Amen.
For our listener, God can do that for you too.
Amen. Amen.
I prayed to open. So would you like to pray to close?
Sure. Love to do that. Father in heaven, we just want to thank you for Jesus. We want to thank you for the precious word of truth, the Bible that tells us how much you love us, what you have done in order to save us, and what you are planning to do for us in the coming days.
Amen.
We thank you, dear Lord, for the sure word of prophecy. We thank you, dear Lord, that as we see all these gigantic events taking place before our very eyes, excuse me, that we do not need to be afraid. We do not need to be anxious. We do not need to be stressed or puzzled or anything of the like, but instead, Lord, we are to know that all these things are telling us that your coming is drawing near and that we are to continually, day by day, moment by moment, be looking up to you, Lord, the morning star, the one that wants to rise in the hearts of each and every person.
Amen.
Father, I pray for each and every one of our listeners that you'll bless them, draw them closer to you, Lord, and help them understand your plans and your way and your will for them is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, we are so glad you joined us today. May God bless you as you continue looking up, remembering that faith always looks up to God. We look forward to your company next week.
Keep looking up, don't give up, don't give up when there's pain deep in your heart. Keep looking up, don't give up, don't give up should the tears begin to start. With a prayer all your
your cares he will cast into the depths of the sea. His love is always there for me.
Do you have a Bible question you've never quite had answered? I'm Lyle, and every Thursday at 5 p.m, I unpack the deep, meaningful, and sometimes tricky questions people send in. Whether you're searching for clarity, exploring a new topic, or just love learning alongside others, Question of the Day is for you. Send your questions anytime to 0488 808 56, and join me each Thursday at 5 p.m. as we dig into the Bible with the promise that no question goes unanswered.